afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for listening to What Mama Wants. I kind of think Mother Earth wants less toxics and more health for her whole planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role toxic poisons like mercury, PFAS, and pesticides are playing in our daily lives. My guest today is John Swan, the founder of Save Forest Lake in the North Country of New Hampshire. John's been a teacher, realtor, soldier, and farmer. And while he loves living in New Hampshire, he's not a fan of the mindset behind the state's motto, live free or die. He's an activist with the group that is wanting to protect their clean water and live toxic-free so they don't die. That's Save Forest Lake. John, thanks for joining me on What Mama Wants today.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
It's a real pleasure. I wanted to see if you wanted to talk trash today.
Oh, I talk trash every day, it seems. This is like one of those rabbit holes you go down and there's no way out once you go down. So, yep, let's talk.
All right. So fill us in on what's going on up there at Forest Lake.
Well, as you know, we're in year four of our fight to stop an unwanted, unneeded, very controversial mega landfill that's being proposed by a company out of Vermont, Casella Waste Systems, with a very controversial record, Southbridge, Massachusetts, Bethlehem, New Hampshire, Coventry, Vermont, and of course, Juniper Ridge up there in Maine. And basically what's the problem is that Casella is running out of room at their Bethlehem landfill, which is the next town over from Dalton, where I live. And part of Forest Lake is in Dalton. And so Casella, back in 2018, found a willing landowner with land for sale right next to Forest Lake, which is a sand and gravel operation. And the owner has plenty of land to sell, so they entered into a contract. So we learned about it back in 2019 and, you know, of course, thought it was a joke. Who would want to put a mega landfill, which will be home to millions of tons of out-of-state trash, right next to a beautiful and beloved state park, which is Forest Lake? So that kind of began the whole, you know, fight to stop this. So we've been very fortunate in that there's overwhelming opposition to this. I do think we're going to ultimately win. We've been very fortunate in that we've been able to slow down this project. In fact, last year, the developer withdrew all of their permit applications on file with New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. So we've also been working on the legislative front because, again, in delving into solid waste policy and practice in New Hampshire, we found that the current setback for siting a landfill next to a body of water is only 200 feet in New Hampshire. So we've introduced legislation this year that passed in both the House and the Senate with bipartisan support to basically strengthen those setback protections to protect water in New Hampshire from poorly sited landfills. And it was also in a town that at that time had no zoning. So we actually introduced zoning in several instances. That's kind of where things stand. On September 15th, we're going to have a huge rally in the Capitol, Concord, New Hampshire. That is veto override day. And as I said, our bill that we had passed this year at both the House and Senate was vetoed by Governor Sununu. That's House Bill 1454. All this information is on our website, by the way, saveforestlake.com. And we had asked listeners to join us at the rally at the Capitol to urge the House and the Senate to overturn the veto and pass House Bill 1454 into law to protect New Hampshire water, not to allow it to continue to be exploited and degraded by out-of-state corporations that only seek profit at our expense.
So your sign might say yes on no?
Correct.
Please
override the veto.
Override the veto so that you can protect water of the people rather than the rights of corporations to do and plunder as they will.
Right. And again, it's a ridiculous project. New Hampshire has plenty of landfill capacity for New Hampshire to waste. But what we realized, just as Maine realized over the past few years, is that corporations like Casella are importing waste from primarily Massachusetts and pretty soon Connecticut, who are all exporting the waste. So they're not building new landfills or incinerators. And so one politician described it as colonialism in the 21st century in terms of solid waste and looking at poorer, smaller states that don't have the resources to fight this. And that's what we're finding in New Hampshire. This project would be home to up to 18 million tons of waste, half of which would come from Massachusetts, trucked south to north across the state, simply to satisfy the waste disposal needs of Massachusetts. So we're also starting to urge Massachusetts to take a realistic approach to its own solid waste policies and practices. But we're also working very hard behind the scenes to update New Hampshire's policies and practices to recognize this and to deal with this regional problem.
Yeah, I'm not from New Hampshire, so I'm certainly not as familiar with the ins and outs, but it has a reputation for being friendly to business.
Yeah, and well, it's that live free or die mentality. And actually, a lot of us say live free and die now, because obviously that's what ultimately is going to happen if we continue to allow our water sources to be polluted and degraded along with our natural environment. You know, we could talk about the land application of biosolids is still being practiced in New Hampshire. A terrible practice, as you've seen in Maine.
And so, I know that my town in Maine sends our biosolids to New Hampshire to be spread on New Hampshire fields, which I feel guilty about.
Well, we're going to be working next year on legislation to ban the land application of biosolids in New Hampshire. So we're also going to be working on a bottle bill, payer deposit bill, to help not only increase recycling rates, redemption rates in New Hampshire, but at the same time to help fund the solid waste initiatives that are being undertaken currently by a group called the New Hampshire Solid Waste Working Group, which was designed to help New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services update solid waste policies and practices, because the state solid waste plan has not been updated since 2003, despite the state law saying every 6 years that has to be updated. We're looking forward to the new draft, which has already been released. Public comment period has ended on it, but we're waiting to see what the Solid Waste Working Group and DDS comes up with. And we hope part of that includes a recommendation for a container deposit law, because that will help fund a lot of the waste reduction initiatives. But we also have to take a look at out-of-state waste, because any waste diversion efforts that we see realized in New Hampshire are simply going to be eaten up, consumed by those private waste haulers, Celland Waste Management, who will fill that freed up capacity with more out-of-state trash. So we have to address the million-ton elephant in the room, and that's out-of-state waste.
Yeah. Every state needs watchdogs, and you are doing a great job of paying attention to when the bills need to be updated and who is bringing trash from where. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about how toxic landfill trash is. What's in landfill trash that creates the problem? Why would you want it set back more than 200 feet from water bodies?
Well, I mean, you're familiar with landfill leachate, which is the garbage juice, and it's the result of water filtering through the mountain of trash. And at the same time, any liquids, whatnot, that might be present in that waste. But obviously, as you're seeing, the EPA is getting ready to update how they classify two of the PFAS chemicals, PFOA and PFOS, as hazardous waste, in part because it's so prevalent throughout society. And obviously, we're seeing that on the front end in the manufacturing process, where manufacturers are still using these chemicals, which society uses. So it's hard to get away from them. So, you know, it's plastics, and it's a large mess that we found ourselves in, and it's of our own creation. In fact, I'm working on a cartoon with the Frankenstein monster coming through the door of the castle, basically saying, "Master, I'm home." And Frankenstein's monster being those PFAS chemicals that we've created as our society is poisoning ourselves slowly.
Yeah, we've created a monster.
We have.
The thing is, this Frankenstein has to be like a nanoparticle.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, we're finding it everywhere. So it's in the atmosphere. And that's one of our concerns here at Forest Lake in the North Country, is we have tested the lake to establish baseline water quality levels. And there are no detectable levels of PFAS currently at the lake. But the problem is the landfill site is only 2,800 feet from the water's edge of the lake. It isn't a butter. And the wind generally blows in that direction from the site towards across the lake. So one of our big concerns, aside from obviously any kind of groundwater contamination, is atmospheric deposition of any of the number of chemicals and contaminants that would come from the landfill site towards the lake. And again, in a couple of years after this landfill is in operation, who will want to go and use the Forest Lake State Park as a place to, you know, have picnics and go swimming and fishing? And there's a lot of weddings there at the state park. It's a beautiful location. So again, the populace of New Hampshire is against this project. The sad irony is that we're finding state political leadership and the regulatory agency, Department of Environmental Services, treat us as if we're the bad guys, we're the antagonist in this fight. So that's what we're faced with 4 years into this battle, is fighting our own leadership in order to strengthen environmental protections and to protect our property rights throughout the North Country. Because this project, if realized, will have such a negative impact on such a wide level throughout the North Country, which, as you know, is a tourist destination, an outdoor recreation destination. So this project is simply incompatible with the quality of life that so many enjoy, whether they live here or they visit in the North Country.
And I know you don't think of this simply as a NIMBY issue and not in my backyard issue. Where do you think a better site would be for a mega trash dump?
Well, actually, that's one thing we're trying to work on with the State Solid Waste Working Group, is a siting committee, because DES actually has a map, and this is on our website, safeforestlife.com. They have a map of the state, and it's broken down by soil type. And so 6 out of 7 parts of the state are clay-based, which are more suitable for a landfill when needed. Right now, we don't even need a new landfill, so we have time. The problem is this developer is very stubborn. They're doubling down on dumb, and they really want to build this landfill at this location. Their own water testing, their wells show that this is very porous soil. In fact, if contaminants broke out from this site, they would reach the Amonoosuc River in less than a year based on the hydrology of the area. Places, it's surrounded by wetlands that feed into the Amonoosuc River, which is about a mile away. So,
this is a poor site. Yeah, poor site.
Terrible.
And then do people use the water from Forest Lake for drinking water in the state of New Hampshire?
Directly, not many people on the lake actually use it for that. The majority of them would use it maybe as water source for gardening. Some do use it for showering. However, downstream from the lake empties into Burns Pond nearby in Whitefield, which then flows down into the Johns River, which is actually where Whitefield does get drinking water from the footfalls, whatnot, that tie into the Johns, which ultimately flows then towards Dalton and into the Connecticut River. So, and then
so this is the pristine upstream. Don't pollute the source.
Correct. And so definitely drinking sources would be impacted downstream from this project.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants, less toxics and more health for the earth. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is the founder of Save Forest Lake, John Swan. He's working to raise awareness about the no-win situation of our current throwaway culture and single-use plastics while fighting his state's political and regulatory authorities to protect their water supply. So you mentioned that the next step for Save Forest Lake is to have a rally in your state's capital, and you've invited us. I think that's very cool. What are some of the plans going forward for Save Forest Lake's organization?
Well, obviously, first off, we're focused heavily on House Bill 1454. So the veto override day is Thursday, September 15th. We would certainly invite you to come out. Kate, you would look stunning in blue to represent clean water. So please wear blue clothing, bring a sign, and join us. We're going to have music. We have a permit for a sound system. We have several speakers who will be speaking, several who have been impacted by PFAS contamination. So hard to talk about when you see what the impacts of PFAS and this contamination have done on the human body. Wendy Thomas will be speaking, and she just went through a double mastectomy. So, you know, she's honored to have her.
She's a former representative in your state, I believe, right?
Yes, and she's running again for state rep. And she's from Merrimack. They're known as the Merrimack Water Warriors because they have been fighting PFAS contamination. And that's something we're trying to avoid. We want to prevent that from happening in the North Country.
Mm-hmm. I think your rally sounds wonderful.
It'll be good. We've had a couple. We had one for the wetlands permit hearing. We had like 200 people out. We went down to Concord, the DES headquarters, and had a rally out front there to urge them to deny the permit. We had 100 people show up. We played music. It was great. We were told by employees and DES, they were looking out the window, were crying.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, huh?
That's really cool. It's a heavy burden to carry.
Yeah, but you know what bothers me is that DES is an executive agency. It's a political appointed position. So we're trying to change that as well. We want to make it independent, and we want to change it to protection, not services.
Love it.
You know, we're looking at everything, you know. But it's like herding cats sometimes. It's a crazy upside down world when we're having to fight with our state regulators and state leadership to prevent what the people in Merrimack have been going through and other places in the country who are dealing with PFAS contamination and not having clean drinking water. So that's why we're encouraging people to join us at the Capitol on September 15th. And, you know, I do get emotional talking about this because I call it the silver lining in this fight, you know, the lives that touch you and you meet people who have been affected by PFAS or biosolids, you know, farmers, et cetera. You just read these stories and it's just 4 years of this. It's been a long fight, Kate, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of writing. You got to do something to get this off of your mind, you know, and I found that writing has been very cathartic and helps to deal with this. And so I've been able to, through my website, through our Facebook pages and groups, share what I've learned with others and bring others on board of this fight. So I think we're going to have a large crowd on September 15th. And beyond that, we're going to be focused again on probably another attempt by Casella to, you know, if House Bill 1454 is not successful in overriding the veto, they will probably try the permitting process again. And so we will again fight that as well. If 1454 is passed into law, it should kill the project because as testing has proved, it's not a suitable site for a mega regional garbage landfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, to really speak to your point about how painful and emotional this work is. My former guest, Laureen Allen from Merrimack, talked about this long-term PFAS contamination as a trauma. You know, when you're raising children and you know that they've been drinking contaminated water their whole lives and your whole job is to protect them and you've been trying your hardest and you're failing, you know, it's a really painful reality. I think you're a real hero for making sure the people who depend on the pristine waters of Forest Lake are not in that situation. And you've taken those sleepless nights and organized people, which you can't do it alone, right? It's and nor would you want to. It's the people who are happiest in this toxic work seem to have buddies they can fall back on doing the hard work.
Well, it certainly helps knowing you're not alone. And we have linked up with the Merrimack Water Warriors. Maureen's been great. Nancy Murphy, Wendy Thomas, you know, Lindy Messmer. But at the same time, we've been looking at Conservation Law Foundation. Great people there. They've been very helpful with our battle and others because it's not a unique situation where it's just this fight. It's the PFAS. It's the plastic waste. It's networking with groups like the New Hampshire Sierra Club. New Hampshire Network has a plastics working group. So we've found consolation in the fact that we're not alone. We're building these networks, these coalitions to work together and support each other because we're not alone in this fight. And it's also interconnected, whether it's, again, recycling, landfilling, PFAS, responsibility from producers for the end of life of their own products, EPR, wastewater treatment, sludge, all of this. And it's all connected to what your show's all about, what Mama wants. We only have one planet Earth. God's not making new green spaces. So it's crazy to think that we're willingly destroying our green spaces, which not only serve to keep us alive, but at the same time, here in the North Country of New Hampshire, our outdoor recreation tourism industries are so heavily reliant upon these beautiful green spaces and our beautiful waters. So we have to protect them. So it's sad that we're having to fight so hard against others who should be fighting alongside us to make sure that corporations are being good stewards of the environment, and instead of being treated as greenwashing ads and all this. So, you know, we're trying to just wake people up and say, hey, this is where we're going. Join us. And let's do this for the future, for our future generations. Because they deserve clean water, clean air, clean soil.
You're a natural protector. I'm sure Mother Earth is quite proud of you. You know, not only were you a soldier in Operation Iraqi Freedom, but then it dawns on me here that you just come back and you're fighting for our Earth freedom right up there at Forest Lake.
It's just, it's an important fight. And I realized back in 2019, when I first learned of this, I didn't see anyone else taking the lanes and leading the fight. So if not me, who?
So true. What do you imagine Mother Earth wants from us with regard to making and warehousing trash?
I think Mother Earth, I think Gaia is sending out a big SOS, help me. You know, there's only one Mother Earth. Some people don't like that terminology because they think it's liberal and left-leaning and all this. And it's funny being called a liberal when, you know, really not. So if you knew my background. But Mother Earth, we rely on her. So why continue to degrade and exploit her? So I think Mother Earth's crying out for help.
Yeah. Love your mother. What are some practical steps that people can take to reduce their consumption of single-use plastic? When we talked about this earlier, I was struck by how much you've taken this whole mission to heart.
You know, it's the six R's, from refusing to reducing to recycling. It starts at the beginning. Early on in this fight, someone suggested that when you talk about waste, you treat waste as a verb, not a noun. And it's what we do that we waste. And so I look at my initial purchases, you know, do I want to buy this if it's encased in plastic? I don't buy milk in plastic. I only buy it in glass. And little things people can do. I bring cloth bags to the grocery store. I reuse bread bags for my vegetables when I'm at the farm stand. Little things like that. I bring my own takeout containers when I go out to eat. I don't dine at establishments that use single-use disposable convenience. So, you know, those little things that reduce the amount of waste you generate. If you look at my trash can in my kitchen, the only thing that's really in there are the things I can't avoid. And, you know, again, we're working on making sure that producers are creating a product that they can take back and recycle. So I think that's what's key in our society. You got to put pressure on the producers. And I've been saying this for a long time, shame on the solid waste industry. They've had decades to see what's coming in to their landfills. And they could have reached out to the producers a long time ago and said, hey, we're seeing this, this, and this. You could probably reuse this in some form of fashion. So it's a discussion we have to have now going forward.
I love that angle. I haven't heard that, but of course they've been seeing what's coming in. I know people who work on the ocean know exactly what people are drinking and what the trends are because they see it in right in the ocean, right? And so we certainly can do better. And I hope that when people hear the word plastic, they also think the word toxic. It's toxic from start to finish, and everyone that touches it and all the air that is around it, and it's a sponge when it breaks down in the ocean, and it's just toxic.
Well, it reminds me of the movie The Graduate. Remember when Benjamin is giving a little fatherly advice? Plastics.
That's,
you know,
right.
If we could just turn back the clock, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, if we could turn it back. Say, to close this interview, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions about your personal relationship to the Earth, if you're game.
Fire away.
As a kid, what was your favorite thing to do outside in nature?
Swim. Love swimming, love the sun. So I love the water, lakes. The ocean is my favorite. You know, when you go to the ocean, and you're just surrounded by beach and fun, and all your concerns in life go away.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe a scene in nature when you have felt awe?
I think anytime I go hiking with my wife here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, it's just we found ourselves to be so fortunate to live in such a beautiful place. And she does a great job of dragging me away from the computer and getting me out. And Bridalville Falls in Franconia is probably my favorite place. It's a nice hike, beautiful waterfall. And you can't help but feel awe when you reach the top there at the waterfall. And it's just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, you remember what you're fighting for at that computer.
Exactly.
What's one thing that your mother taught you about Mother Earth?
Nothing. I had a terrible mother. So, in fact, my birth name was Alvarez. So when I married my second wife, I had the opportunity to take her name. And so I'm John Swan now, and I'm very proud of my marriage to my lovely wife, my best friend. And I had a terrible upbringing. So, no, my parents didn't teach me anything except how to be a bad person.
Where did you learn to love your mama?
You know, I think it's just, it probably started when I got into farming and I realized what goes into the earth and what comes out of the earth, and seeing that whole cycle from, you know, farm to table, and realizing, hey, I'm raising something. I want to make sure that those chickens are eating good stuff, not bad stuff. So because I'm going to ultimately consume their eggs or my cow's milk. And so I think it really began from just a common sense, practical aspect of being a gentleman farmer in upstate New York.
What's one thing you wonder about in nature?
I wonder if nature is going to be able to recover from mankind, really. Well, if mankind is going to wake up and, you know, not be at that Jor-El moment in Superman where he has to shoot his son off into space because the planet's dead. So, or like Lost in Space or any other sci-fi movie we've watched where Earth is dead and we've had to find a new planet to live on. So will Mother Nature survive man?
Yeah, Don't Look Up as well. And what's your favorite baby animal?
My favorite baby animal? Oh, puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? Puppy breath, puppies.
Puppy breath.
Who doesn't love puppy breath?
Oh, that's cute. Oh, John, you are a person who is brave enough to act on what you know to be true, a person who believes in everything he's doing. And thank you for having the courage to step up and speak up for clean earth and water while looking upstream at actual solutions. I wish you all well with your education and legislative advocacy actions in New Hampshire, and good luck on the 15th of September when you ask for the veto override. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kate. It was a pleasure.